Welcome to the Connector Show, another episode. Today we are hanging out with radio personality Jack Paper, and he's going to talk to us a little bit about the radio biz, you know, some family stuff that he's got going on, and medical marijuana and the CBD, and he's got also a men's conference that he's doing. So make sure you check out everything he's got going. We'll throw up some links and whatnot. But Jack Papers, this is probably one of the best in-depth interviews that we've got, man. Love to hear everything he's got going on. So before we get into that, just want to let everybody know, want you guys to check out the sdlawfirm.com, My boy Anthony Medina, born and raised in San Diego, making a lot of cool stuff happen. He is your access to justice. Hit him up for some consultations, whatever you need, business startup, criminal law, any kind of defense. Make sure you reach out to him. Also, this episode is brought to you by the Love Thy Neighbor movement. Make sure you check out all the cool stuff that we're trying to make happen out here in San Diego, Tijuana, and Modesto. So make sure you check us out, the Love Thy Neighbor movement.com. Here we go. Let's get into this with Jack Paper. Get connected.
If you're C-O-N-E-C-T-A-D-O, you already know about the show, so let's go. It's your music and lifestyle, fashion profile, the entertainment source for everything you want to know about. North to the south, the east to the west side, stay connected with Ruben Torres worldwide, so let's go. Across the globe, well respected, beasting on the industry. Connected.
Welcome to the Connected Show, Connected with Ruben Torres. Got another great episode coming up here. I have a friend of mine here from Central Cali, and he is Toby Bacher, and he also goes by Jack Paper, radio personality over at iHeartMedia. How you doing, Toby?
How you living, brother?
Oh, man, just, you know, trying to catch up with you, man. Been going back
and forth. You're down in one of my favorite places in the world, San Diego, man.
Yeah, man. Well, you know, we're talking earlier how this was your home for a little bit, too.
Yeah, I went to college down there, met my wife down there, got my career started down there. Man, San Diego has some really good memories for me, and it's one of those places I said, God, if you ever want me to move back to San Diego, I'm in. Just let me know.
I think a lot of people say that, right? It's kind of one of those.
Yeah,
spots.
No doubt.
Yeah. So tell me about your beginnings in the music radio industry.
Well, it's really a funny story because ever since I was a little kid, I'm talking like, you know, 5-6 years old, all the way through my senior year of high school, I knew without a shadow of a doubt, 100%, nobody could tell me different, I was going to become a killer whale and dolphin trainer. I knew it. That's what I was going to be. I was obsessed with it. I had posters all over my room. Like, I was that guy. And get out of high school. I went right from high school, Nevada Union High School in Grass Valley, California, up in the hills of Northern Cal. And just an amazing place to grow up and live. And so I went right out of high school to Marine World, which was in Vallejo, which is still there. It's now Six Flags. But back then, there was no roller coasters. It was just all about the animals and stuff. And there's two schools in the entire country at that time that gave you what's called an exotic animal management certificate, and that allows you to train wild animals, including killer whales. And so I sat down. It was at Moore Park University, which is just a junior college, but they offer this crazy program. I sat down in, like, this Donald Trump boardroom with all these people staring at me. I'm this, you know, young, naive kid straight out of high school, and they started asking me all these questions, and I didn't have any of the answers. And I remember getting out of that interview, my mom was with me. We sat down, I think, in a Jack in the Box or a Carl's Jr. or something. I remember looking my mom in the face and going, Mom, I'm not supposed to do this. And she's like, what do you mean? I'm like, I can't explain it. I'm not supposed to do this. And within 2 weeks, I was enrolled and attending Point Loma Nazarene College down in San Diego as a mass comm major and helped start their first ever campus radio station. My first year there, and the next year there, I got an internship at 91X, which is still in San Diego, still going strong, and at the time, they were one of the top alternative stations in the country. I worked my tail off to get an interview with their promotions director. I bugged her like nobody's business. We sat down in our first interview, and she looks me straight in the face and says, you are the most annoying person I've ever met, and that's why you're going to get this job.
Wow.
And so that was like, that was the start. I mean, my foot at that point was in the door for, I mean, I always loved music. You know, music has always been a part of my life, even as a little kid. It's just, music is powerful, man. It's one of God's greatest weapons. No matter where you are in life, you like some sort of music, old, young, in the middle. Music is just so powerful. So music was always a part of my life. And so that was kind of what drew me to radio. But once you're in radio, you discover really quick, yes, music is awesome. Yes, contests and prizes and trips and all that is fun. You know, the entertainment thing. But really, when you break it down, it's just about connecting with people. And that's what I found out over the years. And I'm still discovering, even this day, that's what I like to do. That's why I was drawn to it. That's why I feel like God called me to it, because I'm a relational type of person. I like to connect with people, and I like to make a difference. And radio is one of those platforms, one of those rare platforms where you can actually do that. You connect with people on a personal level, and at that point, you can make a difference in their life. I always told people, hey, look, I might not be, you know, building churches in some third world country right now, but if I can make this guy or this mom with three kids and a crazy life, if I can make her smile on her drive home from work and take her out of her reality for just a couple of seconds, then I did my job that day, you know? And so that's what drew me to it, man, and I'm still in it today. And I think, man, I'm coming up on 20 years, which just makes me sound really old. I don't like to talk about that. But it's been awesome, man, and I still love it. My wife makes fun of me because, you know, I'll do a show and maybe I'll produce a commercial or something, and we'll be driving, and all of a sudden my commercial will come on. Even to this day, about 20 years later, I'm like a little kid in a candy store. I hush my wife, hey, be quiet, be quiet. I'm turning it up, and she's like, how many times have you heard your own voice? Are you kidding me? I go, I know, it's awesome, isn't it?
Yeah,
so, you know, man, if you're going to do something in life, you better be passionate about it, because we spend so much of our time at work, and work can be a grind at times. So I promised myself that I would never do a job that I didn't like. And I've had those jobs before, and I didn't stay long. And so when I found radio, or maybe I should say when radio found me, I've been doing it ever since, and I still love it, man.
What was that moment, though, that moment where you truly knew, like, I want to do this for the rest of my life? Because, I mean, going to college and starting, you know, the first program there and doing all that stuff, like, there was still some wiggle room for you to say, no, well, I still want to go back and feed Shamu. Like, what other stuff? I mean, you got to sit back and know, like, I'm still young enough to where I can make some mistakes and go a different route. But there had to have been one point where you were just, you knew that this was it. Radio is it.
I can look back to a moment, but I wouldn't say it was the moment that I knew I was supposed to do it. But I do remember a professor, and I've actually contacted him years ago because he had moved on to a different school, and I just wanted him to know the words that he spoke to me in this meeting one day changed my life. And I remember like it was yesterday. It was just one of those meetings where you're going to sit down with your school counselor and figure out what classes you're going to take and stuff. And he was my communications teacher as well. And he looked me in the face. I didn't provoke this. I didn't ask for him to say this. He just said it. And he looked at me and he said, out of all the people in my class right now, you're going to be the one that makes it. And I remember just a shy kid, you know, I mean, so I'm so different now. I mean, I'm more confident just because I know who I am in God and just life and experience and, you know, things that happen in life that make you more confident. But back then I was just really insecure kid. And this guy just, he spoke life into me when he said that. It was all of a sudden like, I can do this, you know, like I needed to hear that. And our words have the power of life and death, and that guy chose to speak life into me that day. It's not like, you know, you're pretty talented, but you're really going to have to work hard, and you might be lucky to make it. You never know. You might catch a break. It was nothing like that. It was just straight up, you're going to be the one that makes it. Mm-hmm. And I remember 10 years later, after I had, you know, been in radio, you know, programmed multiple stations and done all the stuff you want to do in radio, different markets and all that, and I found him via email And I just sent him an email and told him how much that moment, you know, changed my life. And it was really cool. He emailed me back and we exchanged a couple of emails. And that might have been one of those moments where I might not have known that this is it, but it fired me up and it put a charge in me to pursue it even more. And I never looked back. Once I knew I was going to do radio, I never looked back, and I would do whatever it took. I took out trash, you know, for DJs. I went and got, you know, dinner for the overnight jocks. It didn't matter. To me, it didn't matter. There's this new generation of people that they're a little more spoiled, you know. They want it a little bit easier. But anybody that was pursuing radio, you know, in the mid-90s, you know, like I was, you had to work your tail off to get there. And it didn't matter. I was going to do whatever it took. And, you know, I thank God that he opened those doors for me.
Wow. And so how many stations have you been at now?
Let's see. We're at San Diego, San Luis Obispo, and then I ended up in Modesto, which is funny. But I was headed to Sacramento, which is a bigger market, because my wife, right out of college, got a job at a really highly rated news station. So she was going to do TV journalism. Wow. So I was going to head up there with her. And then I mean, looking back, it had to be God, because no one in the right mind is just going to go to Modesto because it's a tropical paradise. You know, it's like, Modesto, like, where's that? What is that place? So anyway, I literally opened up a phone book and just looked at the radio section and literally pointed at stations. I'm going to call them. And I went and had an interview with a guy named Marty Lancer, who's still on radio today. Marty is an amazing guy. I walk into his studio, he's doing his show. He was interviewing me while doing his show to see if I could get an on-air, you know, weekend part-time thing. And I didn't realize the man was flat-out blind until 10 minutes into my interview. He was so good at what he did, he was so smooth, and it wasn't until he did something that just kind of struck me funny. And he's completely blind, doing a full-blown radio show. And this guy is so inspiring, and he's the one who actually hired me in Modesto, and then you know, really kind of launched my career from there. Everything else was kind of part time at that point, and then started out doing weekends and went to the overnight show, then did nights, and then did a really long stretch, you know, doing an afternoon show. At that point, another station took interest in me for their morning show. So then I finally, that was one of my goals, to do a morning show. And myself and my partner, Madden, we had a great run. And then, you know, as fate would have it, God called me to Nevada. And so we left. I mean, my career was going places. I had big markets calling me, wanting me to come. You know, and in radio, at least on the surface, that's what it's all about, getting to the big market, making the bigger money. And, you know, I learned early on from a friend that, as long as you're happy, as long as you're paying your bills, taking care of your family, and you're at a station that matters, does it really matter if you've got to go to the big market? So I was very thankful that that wasn't my drive. And so when God said, I need you to go to Nevada, and I had no clue why, everything was going well, and my wife and I packed up, we left our careers, didn't have no jobs lined up, and we moved to Reno Sparks, Nevada. and I ended up at a radio station there, and had a great time. And then, oh man, we came full circle. Now all of a sudden we're back in Modesto. I'm still in radio, but part-time. And now I am pursuing what I believe is my calling in life. Radio has been an excellent gift and an amazing platform, and I still love it. But my calling in life is to see men have their lives changed. There's a lot of hurting and loss of men in our world. A lot of men struggling with identity, struggling in their marriages, struggling with addictions. And so, you know, I head up a men's ministry called Kingdom Men Ministries, and it's out of the house in Modesto under Pastor Glenn Berteau. And I could literally have you here for hours just telling you about why I'm so passionate about it. But I really believe the source of it is because I was one of those guys at one point. I was one of those guys with the messed up marriage. I was one of those guys cheating on my wife. I was one of those guys, you know, using radio to feed my ego and my pride. And so anyway, man, I was restored. I was forgiven. And I believe wholeheartedly the only reason we're allowed to go through junk is so that we can help people going through the same junk. And so that's my mission in life, man, is to help out men.
I truly believe that, brother. And you know, I went through a lot of junk myself, and I was actually there the first day that that you came back to speak at the house after being gone for so long. And it was inspiring. And, you know, you were like, hey, man, I want to meet you guys. You put up your info and your assistant's info on the, you know, on the big screen. You're like, dude, I actually want to meet you guys. Like, reach out, you know. And not a lot of people do that, man. So I think that was a blessing. I'd actually took down your info, and I was kind of in the middle of trying to figure out if I was going to stay or go in Modesto as well. But,
yeah,
you know, I just thought it was really cool that you know, that you went and did that and put your info out there. And, you know, all the men out there, they're like, you know, taking pictures of the screen or writing down their info. And it was cool, man. I think more of that is needed. Now, being on the radio, do you actually get to share this some of this stuff, or is it, do they ask you to keep your faith out of, you know, off the airwaves?
You know, that's a great question. I've had different PDs with different takes, you know, program directors that tell you, don't even think about it. Different program directors say, it doesn't really matter to me, and everywhere in between. And so my take has always been, look, this is secular radio. This isn't a Christian radio station. I'm not going to put myself on a soapbox and be that guy and be preaching in between songs. And that, to me, that was just silly. You know, what I want to stand out for me, and what I think more Christians need to do, is let their life speak for themselves.
Yes.
You know, I was on the air, and I was just positive, and I'm still that guy. Some people say half glass full. I say there's nothing half about it. My glass is overflowing, you know, and because God has done it. And so, you know, people would always talk about all the craziness in Hollywood and the sex stories and, you know, all the stuff that goes down. And, you know, if something was really important and it was a huge pop culture thing, sure, I'd talk about it. But you don't have to dive into the trash of it. You don't have to get into the gossip or the rumor about it. You can relay the story, talk about it if you want, you know. But what I tried to do, and the reason why I think I had any success in radio, is because I just connect with people on a personal level. You know, what I talked about the most was my life, my family, you know, my problems, my struggles, my weaknesses, my strengths. And I think people, you know, sure, we love to hear about everything going on in entertainment and Hollywood and music and all that stuff because it's exciting, and we all kind of wish we were rock stars anyway. But when it comes down to it, you know, we all lay our heads down on a pillow, you know, we all sit on the toilet a couple times a day, you know, and so we all can relate to real life stuff. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why God, you know, gave me the platform that I still have today. And people, for whatever reason, you know, can relate. And so that's, to me, that's how I got my faith on the radio, comes in the form of, and hopefully it's consistent. And God knows there was a couple of stretches where it wasn't. And I was very much hypocritical. You could look me up in a dictionary under hypocrite, you would have saw my picture. But praise God for his grace and his forgiveness. And, but now I try to be as consistent as I can, you know. We're all men and we mess up, but, you know, as we move on with this life and as we grow, hopefully we're messing up less, you know? Yeah. And, so that's really how I choose to put my faith on display. Now, if someone engages me and specifically asks me about something off the air or in public when we're out at a broadcast or an event or something, there's no whole bar, you know, no whole bar for me. If you ask me, then I'll tell you, yeah. You know, but if you don't ask, I'm going to let my life speak for it.
Yeah. And, you know, knowing that there is some PDs that would say, hey man, like have at it. Or there's some that are like, hey, you'll pump your brakes. Like you can't, you know what I'm saying? Especially, you know, cause you're a direct reflection of them too, you know, but of the show. And then
yeah, well, that's 100% it, man. You are representing not only the station, you're representing your boss, you're representing the company. I mean, more people need to think about that, you know, when they're posting stuff on Facebook, you know,
yeah, that's
like,
true.
Yo, I know that's your personal page, but you work for this company,
yeah.
You know, and that's a reflection, you know? So yeah, man, you couldn't have said it, you know, better. And that's one of the reasons why honor is really important to me. You know, and God says to give honor where honor is due. So whether my boss or my general manager or my sales manager, whether they were Christians or not, that didn't matter. I still have to honor them because God says to honor the people in authority over your life. And so if they said, I don't want you to talk about it, that wasn't an issue for me. I wouldn't talk about it. You know, I just let my life lead the way and be the example and be my platform. So I think, I think a lot of Christians need to implement honor. It's just so important to honor the people that are above you.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I have some friends that have been doing radio here in San Diego for a long time as well. And some of these guys, they're real buddy-buddy with the PD. And then some of these guys, they don't even see them. You know what I'm saying? It's times have changed in the radio business. But in your perspective, how has the music or the radio industry changed or evolved in the time that you've been in?
Well, it's changed a lot. I mean, from the early 90s to now, which is when I got my start, I think probably the biggest change, music is always going to change. So, music goes in waves. You're seeing, there was a stretch, early 2000s where, retro style came back in. So bands were kind of having that retro feel. And then all of a sudden hip hop will hit a nice little wave. And all of a sudden hard rock will come in. And then all of a sudden now they're blending hard rock and hip hop. And, so music is always going to change. So that, to me, I get excited about that because musicians evolve, artists and groups grow. And for example, I remember when everybody was so freaked out about Metallica and when the Black Album came out and all the diehard fans were just up in an uproar because it wasn't Injustice for All anymore, and what's this slow stuff? And then all of a sudden it's the biggest selling rock album, it took them to a different stratosphere. And so musically, I invite change. I like change, but my musical taste is all over the place anyway. So, that kind of works for me. But I think the biggest change outside of music that's always going to do that is just corporate radio. And you have to know where my heart's from. I'm not 100% against it. I know there are so many people, down with the man. Corporate radio is ruining radio. And you know what? There is some truth to that. There are elements of radio that are never going to be the same. There is the spontaneity of old school radio, which I love. If something happened in the city, you could just drive out there, park your van in front of it and do whatever. Now you got paperwork to fill out. You got to get permission from so-and-so who needs to get permission from that person who needs to talk to the boss, And so there's a lot of red tape in modern day radio, but what's never going to change about radio, and this is why I love it, and this is why I think people that are so against corporate radio need to, like you said, push the brakes a little bit, is what's never going to change is you connecting with your audience. And so that to me is the job of the DJ. Nobody else, the person who clicks that microphone on, what are you saying that's going to change and impact the life that day? Even if it's nothing deep or intense or earth shattering, but maybe you made someone smile. Maybe you made someone contemplate something, no matter what corporate radio does to radio itself, that will never change, because people want connection. They're thriving for connection. The DJs that have made it and hit the big time, if you broke their career down, what they did good and really good was connect with people. I use someone like a Ryan Seacrest, for example. Everybody has their opinion about Ryan. Ryan is the master of connection. I mean, the guy he's so relatable, whether it was Idol or his radio show or his TV game show, back in the day. I'm just a big fan of the guy and modeled a lot of stuff I did after him because I watched him say, he might not be the most talented guy in the world. And obviously he's got skills beyond belief, but what he had more than skills was passion and love for what he's doing and drive to get it done. And he connected with people on this personal level and he's still doing it today. Yeah. And so no matter how radio changes, that's never going to change.
Wow. And he also brought us the Kardashians. he that was him behind the whole, I guess he brought it to the networks, the whole Kardashian show too.
Oh so, my goodness. Yeah. Yes. He changed the world forever with Kim.
Yeah, there you go. And also, there's got to be other avenues for DJs to make money outside of the radio station because you guys get invited to do hosting and different events everywhere as well, right? Or what other opportunities as a radio personality do you have to make more income?
No, the standard opportunity someone in radio is going to get is, you know, it's called remotes. You know, when a business calls the radio station or a salesperson contacts them and say, hey, you know, we're going to come out to your place and broadcast. We'll bring one of the DJs. You got, like, you know, you got a grand opening. You got a big special. Let's bring the station out, you know. And so that's pretty standard stuff in radio. Another way that, you know, DJs make money is endorsements, you know. And so let's say X car dealership, you know, really likes, you know, that particular DJ style and recognizes that he's popular in the market that he's in. And so he wants to brand his dealership with that DJ. So, you know, they'll call up and set that up. And that guy's driving his cars and talking about it on the air. And, you know, and so a lot of times, you know, not only can you get, you know, paid to do it, which is great, but you also get the product, you know. So you're driving their cars around for a while, and it's a blessing to do that. I've been involved in several of those. And you know, I personally, integrity is important to me, and you and I know each other, and you know that about me. And so if I'm going to put my name on something, I've turned down a lot of endorsements because I didn't believe in the product. And there's a lot of people who wouldn't do that because they just want the money. And believe me, you, I need the money, but my name is more important. And so when I put my name on something, I really want it to be, you know, something that I use or something that I believe in or something that has potential. You know, but those things are out there, and you see both sides of the radio on with endorsements. You see guys that could care less about the product, but they're going to cash that check. And then you see guys that actually truly genuinely believe in what they're endorsing. And I try to go that route.
Yeah. Yeah. I have seen that. And, it's funny because, you know, you hear some other, like some podcasters when they're on, you know, and there's a comedian, you know, I won't say his name, but you know, he's endorsed some stuff and he's like, oh yeah, you know, try this new drink. And then he's like, tastes like crap, but you know, whatever, you know, he still does it, but he's a comedian and, you know, so,
exactly.
You know, it's, you don't really take it serious, but he's serious, you know, and he, you know, some people just do it, you know, for the check, but you know, I mean, sometimes it's gotta be what it's gotta be, I guess. So,
but no, it's just, to me, it's integrity, man. I don't want to look a client in the face and tell them, oh yeah, I 100% believe in your product and know that I completely don't. And go on the air, and the number one reason I do it is because I believe our audience is a lot smarter than what people think.
Oh, yeah.
And they're going to sniff out counterfeit and fake faster than you think. And so I don't ever want someone listening to me going, that guy don't even use that stuff. You can tell, you know.
Yeah.
That guy's never driven one of their cars ever. I've seen him. He drives this car, you know. I don't ever want that to happen to me, you know. And that's because if I've built trust up with my audience and they're actually listening to me, you know, and trust my opinion, you know, if I've done my job right over the years, they're trusting what I'm telling them is true, then I would never want to jeopardize that for a check. I just think that's stupid.
Yeah, yeah. And especially, you know, you're saying, you know, it's your name attached to it and whatnot. Going kind of back full circle, you use the name Jack Paper. How did that come about? Tell me how that come about.
Well, it's funny because for years I protected that. When I got into radio, I did not want to use my real name. Just because, you know, let's be real, there's some crazy people out there. And, you know, for years and years and years I protected that. And it's fine. I think more people call me Jack than my real name. And my dad's name is Jack, so I answer really easy to it. And still to this day, people that know my real name will still call me Jack. So, you know, I think I answer that more now. But back in the day when I was down in San Diego, there was a really popular night DJ down there. And I became friends with him. And I just told him, I said, hey, bro, I don't want to use my real name, you know. And so he said, what about Jack Paper? I said, Jack Paper? So where do I know that name from? And he goes, Little Jackie Paper, Puff the Magic Dragon? I'm like, oh, yeah. And he goes, but it's not just this fictional made-up guy. He goes, I actually have a friend named Jack Paper. He goes, and he grabbed his phone. You know, we called the guy, talked to him, and that was his actual name. And so it was one of those things where it would work. It wasn't some crazy, you know, Rusty Blades, you know, or you know, some cheesy radio thing. It was a name that would actually work. you know? And so I went with it, and then it took off, and, you know, still to this day use it. And you know, I was glad, you know, I did that. And I remember just recently, within this last year, because of social media, I have my personal page, I have my you know, professional page, and you know, social media kind of starts combining. You'll see people show up on your friends list. You should be friends with this person. We suggest this. Well, it was suggesting to people that they should like my personal page.
Oh, wow.
And so listeners were starting to figure out, wait, that's the same guy. Look at the profile. It's the same dude.
Yeah.
What's going on? I had people ask me, like, I had people message me, go, dude, there's some guy using your name. You know, like, there's some Toby guy, man, that's got your picture on his page. You should check that out. You know, so finally I said, you know what? It doesn't matter, man. This is 2015, bro. Let's just be real with each other, you know?
Yeah.
And so, but I still use it, and people still call me it, and it's fun. I love it.
What's the secret to longevity that you've had? I mean, going in 20 years, it's, you know, it's not easy, especially, you know, with things changing and, you know, some of the conglomerates buying out, you know, some of the little guys. And what's been your secret to the success of being in radio industry?
I mean, I don't know if I can narrow it down to, you know, one key thing. Do this and you'll last long forever in radio, because, you know, the joke in radio is if you go on vacation, you better make sure your job's secure, because there'll be someone in your seat when you get back. So radio DJs are always leery about going on vacation.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say with me, you know, it was a willingness to do whatever it took, you know, in the realm of my own integrity. I would never go against that. If someone told me to do something that was against my own morals or whatever. But in that arena of my integrity, do whatever it takes. My mom raised me as a hard worker. My work ethic was crazy, still is to this day. So be willing to do whatever. Be humble. So many people in this industry are not humble, and eventually it catches up to them. It caught up to me early on in my career, when all of a sudden the whole radio thing began to get to my head. I started believing the hype. I started believing what all the listeners were saying about me. And the next thing I know, my marriage is in trouble. My health is declining. I'm just partying like crazy. It wasn't, you know, something I normally did. And it got really bad. And it was by the grace of God that I recovered from that downslide. And actually, you know, turned my life around, gave my life back to God, and was serious about it. And my career elevated to a completely different level, because, you know, he gave me the platform. So why, when I tried to take it away from him, you know, he let me slip on purpose. You know, he allowed it to happen, knowing that I would get to that place, that bottom, and then recognize, whoa, God, you gave this for me. I'm not going to mess it up anymore. And once I gave it back to him, you know, symbolically, God, this is yours. Like, this platform you gave me, this job, this is yours, man. You gave it to me. I just need to be a good steward of it and take care of it. And ever since I did that, everything began to elevate, you know. Promotions became, you know, attention. My ratings were never as big, or never, you know, they were bigger than they ever were. So, you know, I think for me, longevity was staying humble and realizing this job, you are replaceable. Any moment, I don't care how popular you are, I don't care how big of a DJ you are, how big of a market you are in, you are replaceable. And so I always knew that, and still to this day know that. That's why I worked hard, because if you're going to replace me, you're going to have to replace a lot. I've got my claws in everything. You know, mm-hmm. I'm not just the guy in the air. I'm programming. I'm doing promotions. I'm doing imaging. I'm doing social media. You know, so I would tell anybody that's wanting to get into the business, get in it, start interning immediately. Get your foot in the door somewhere and start getting your hands on everything, because radio is not as hard as people think to get into, but it is hard to stay in it. And so, you know, do whatever it takes, be humble, and have some really good work ethic. And I think you'll be on your way.
Yeah, actually, it was pretty hard for me. I don't know how many times when I was in Modesto, I went and shoved my resume down everybody's face over there. I'm like, you got to hire me. Look at my resume. I couldn't even get a call back over there. I was like, man, Modesto's tough. But
yeah, and that's the thing about resumes. I mean, let's just be honest with each other. I mean, really, in any profession, the resume's nice. The education, I'd never say not get it. But it's all about timing and connections.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's really what it all breaks down to. I went to school for radio. You know, I got my degree in mass comm, and I did all the broadcasting classes and all that stuff. But looking back, I didn't have to do any of that. I could have just went right to 91X and started interning, and my career would have been just the same. You know, and I'm not knocking education because I do think, you know, everybody needs to go. Plus, I met my wife there, so that worked out pretty good.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's not about how fancy your resume is or any of that. It's just timing and connections, you know?
Yeah. What's been the best piece of advice that you've gotten in just in business, period?
Best advice I've gotten in radio was from my boss's wife, Donna Miller. At a station in Modesto called B93, which 15 years later, I'm now actually on that station now, which is a crazy story in of itself. But early on, I had all these big markets calling me, and it was exciting because that's what you're taught in radio. It's all about the big market. You got to get to the big market. And I was flying out to places and doing interviews, and it was really exciting, but I wasn't feeling content about any of it. None of it was like jumping out in my spirit going, yes, you need to take that job. You need to move to this city. And I was freaking out. I'm like, what is going on? This is the pinnacle. This is what everybody tells you radio is all about. But none of it was bringing me any inner satisfaction. And so I expressed that to Donna one day. And without knowing she was about ready to drop a nugget of wisdom on me, she just very casually said, you know, you need to be content. You need to figure out what makes you content. Does it matter that you're in a big market, or do you just want to be at a radio station that you can be content at and you can pay your bills, you can take care of your family? And so through that conversation, I came to the realization that my content, how I'm going to be content, is I want to be at a radio station that matters in the market. I want to be at a radio station that never is going to be complacent, is always trying to get better, and I want to be able to provide for my family. If I can have those three things, I'm good. And once I released that and said, okay, this was, I turned down all those markets, you know, because I didn't need it, you know, and my family's all in NorCal, spread throughout Northern California, and so I didn't necessarily want to move away from all of them, and then my wife and I, you know, we started having kids, and so our grandparents are close, and I'm perfectly content, man. I don't look back at those big market opportunities and regret it at all. It would have been fun. I'm sure, you know, it would have been an adventure to do some of those things. But I look back now, and I'm not done yet, man. I'm just getting going. But what I have been able to do so far, I'm very happy about and very content about and just ready for whatever God has for me next.
I think one of the beautiful things, you know, aspects about it too, is having the support from your wife. How long have you guys been married?
What's that?
How long have you guys been married?
Man, we're going on 17 years, or actually 18 years, next August. And, yeah, man, we've been through a lot. Radio has been a blessing and a curse at the same time for my family, just not radio itself, but because of me and stupid things I've done. But it's been a great profession for us, and she's an amazing woman. She puts up with me when she shouldn't. She's given me grace. She's shown me forgiveness. You know, she's given me three amazing babies, and supports me. Radio is a hectic career, man. It's a lot of events and a lot of random hours, and it's a lot more work than it. You know, people think you just go into a studio and play CDs or something, you know. That's the image, the stereotype that's out there, and it's just not that. It's so much work. The on-air show is just a fraction of what you do, and she supported me, man. I mean, we've had our ups and downs with it, and there's some times where she thought I should probably get out of it, but, you know, ultimately, you know, we come into agreement that I'm still supposed to be in it, and it's what God has for me right now. And so, yeah, man, she's amazing, bro.
And you know, you mentioned you have three kids. I know you've been posting a lot right now about some of the challenges you're going through with your daughter. Can we talk a little bit about that? I mean, you don't got to go too deep if you don't want, but I think it's.
My daughter is one of my biggest inspirations. She's 4 years old now, but when she was born, she was diagnosed with something called Aicardi syndrome, and it's a very rare thing that only happens to girls. It's a very aggressive form of epilepsy. At her worst, she would have seizures once an hour, 24 hours a day. A major part of her brain did not form, which causes, the seizures. And because of that, she, can't lift up her head by herself. She has low muscle tone, so she can't walk or crawl or lift up her arms by herself or lift up her legs. And there's quite an array of things that doctors have told us she'll never do. And so it's been an adventure for me and my wife. And early on, we decided together, in agreement, that we were going to go through this adventure with her very openly with everybody, not only friends and family, but God gave me this platform on the radio. And we're going to use it. We're going to use it to spread hope. And so our story, man, we could be here for a long time talking about the intense moments. And one moment where she literally was choking to death in my arms, turning blue, lifeless, and dying. And, I had to do mouth-to-mouth on her when she was super young. And there's other times. We've been in the hospital more times in the last 4 years than most people will be in their entire lives. And so there's all this craziness and all this drama around it, but my wife and I come at it through the eyes of hope and through the eyes of faith, because we've been allowed to be in this situation for a reason, and we believe wholeheartedly, and I've watched it. I have proof of it. I've seen, thanks to social media and the internet, this little baby girl who has no idea the impact she's having is positively influencing people around the world who know her story and see her fighting and see her, no matter what gets thrown her way, sees her keep going. We're very open about it online. We have a Facebook page. You can Facebook, or search on Facebook, Paper Doll. And there's a couple of different paper dolls on there, but you'll see her, a little four-year-old baby girl. And that's her Facebook page. And when I say that, we write the post, but we do it from her perspective. And so it's like she's writing it. And so this has become really popular, and thousands of people are liking her and following her, and they know her story. And the thing we hear all the time is, how do you guys do it? How do you stay so positive? It's so crazy of a situation. How are you doing it? And my answer is always, what am I supposed to do? Give up? would it make you feel better if I was depressed about what's going on? Would it help heal my daughter if I was, taking popping pills because I can't handle the anxiety of it? We're doing it because in our mind, there's no other option. We have to keep going. Never give up. With God, there's always hope, no matter what, no matter how dire the circumstances are. There's people listening to this right now. They're going to be encouraged by what I'm saying right now, because they're in a situation that seems helpless, that seems dire, that seems like nothing's going to change. But I'm telling you, with God, there's always hope, no matter what the situation. And so I think we call her Paper Doll. The listeners gave her that name. We love it. All my kids, have little radio names because we didn't want to give their real names out on the air. And so Paper Doll has this incredible influence on people whose marriages were crumbling and now they're not. People who were going through crazy addictions, trying to get off of drugs, and because they were inspired by her, now they're clean and sober. So I've watched this little girl be used by God in a way that we would have never imagined. And so as much as I want her healed yesterday, and I do, and I believe she will be healed, there is a big part of me that goes, this is a privilege. This is a humbling privilege that we've been given, to be her mommy, to be her daddy. And I'm never going to complain about that ever, because I've seen the impact that she's having on people.
Yeah, I you know, try to kind of follow the whole situation, and I see you guys in and out of the hospital and taking turns, and you know, and she travels out to do, you know, her stuff, and you travel out to do your stuff, and it's amazing, man. And you know, my hat's off to you guys, man. I keep you guys in prayer all the time too, because you know, I see what the pain that she's going through, and then you know, I know, you know, I got three kids myself too, so I know it's not easy. You know, it can't be easy what you're going through, man. So, you know, anybody listening, man, just make sure that you definitely, you know, keep my brother's family in prayer here, because it's needed. It's needed. And also, you guys have been really open about the CBD process you guys are using too, right? So can you yeah, talk about that a little bit?
Well, I mean, this is something I wish my wife was here, because she is a stay-at-home mom who works from home. She actually does, you know, has a couple of jobs. She works from home. She takes care of our daughter with special needs. And what I tell people all the time is, yes, she is special, and we do need her. So that's a proper description of her. And we also have two crazy boys, you know, 6 and 9 years old, that she homeschools. So my wife is like super mom. And, you know, but at the same time, we traveled the country, literally the country, speaking to experts on epilepsy and had her on all these epilepsy drugs and these pharmaceuticals. And, if you had caught me 10 years ago and told me, hey, 10 years from now, you're going to have a daughter who's going to be going through this stuff, and you're going to be a major proponent of medical marijuana and CBD, as a conservative Christian, I would have said, you're smoking crack. You know, that's not going to happen ever. And then so here, my wife and I, and we're seeing all these seizure drugs that are doing nothing but increasing their seizures and ridiculous side effects, and they're horrible. They're unbelievably horrible. And I'm not a person against pills. Like, you know, if I get sick, I take a pill. So I'm not that guy, but I am that guy when it comes to these pharmaceuticals that my daughter's been on, and that have all promised seizure control and haven't done anything. And so we had someone introduce the thought of CBD, cannabinoids, which is a portion of the cannabis plant, the medicinal side of it. And, you know, not without getting all technical and everything, what sold me on it was simple. I went down to a convention in Los Angeles, and there was a doctor, Dr. Goldstein, which is our doctor now. We love her. She's in L.A. If you ever have questions, or you have a child with seizure, or somebody struggling with cancer, or whatever it is, she's not only a medical marijuana doctor, but, you know, she's been in the medical field for a long time. So anyway, she is doing this scientific presentation about CBD, not looking through eyes of faith, none of that. It was purely scientific, and she said something that 100% made me realize this is what we need for our daughter. She said, your body is loaded with these receptors, and the only thing these receptors take in is CBD. There's things that are coming at it all the time. It'll just bounce off it. Hits it, bounce off of it. But all of a sudden, CBD from cannabis comes to the receptor, and it sucks it up, and it takes it in. And at that moment, at that convention, I said, wait a second. I'm thinking to myself, God, you created our bodies. So you put that in me. You put that in us. If it's so bad, you wouldn't have did that. And so me, looking through eyes of faith, I was sold. I was like, God created my body, and he created me to have this. Now, he didn't create me or put those in my bodies to abuse it, which is what a lot of the world has done, which is why parents like myself, who were trying to get their daughter at the time, we were trying to get her on it, and it was hard. It was a big task. You know, because of the abuse that's gone on over decades, there's a lot of stereotypes that are out there. So I'm not an advocate of just, hey, you should have it just because. I am an advocate, though, of God created this plant for a reason. And the reason is this plant is miraculous. I don't know what other way to say it. We put our daughter on it. She almost immediately had a 75% decrease in seizures. Zero side effects to it. She was having, you know, seizures every 90 minutes, and she, boom, 75% decrease. And that's while we're still on pharmaceuticals, we're weaning her as we speak. And it's to do it right, it takes a long time to wean because the withdrawals are so crazy. Mm-hmm. So we're down to 1.5 pills, 2 different seizure meds, pharmaceuticals. And I believe, brother, wholeheartedly, when we come off of those, we're going to get to meet our daughter at 4 years old, maybe 5 when it all goes down. We're going to get to meet her for the very first time. Wow. You know, she stopped smiling. She was 6 weeks old when we saw her first little seizure, and we put her on a drug called Keppra. And we're trying to, it's one of the last ones we're weaning her off of right now. People who know what I'm talking about know how nasty it is. But Keppra, one of its side effects that we didn't know about, it took her ability to smile away. We have one picture of her smiling just before she went on that medicine as a 6-week-old little baby. And 2 weeks ago in a hospital in Roseville, California, we were there for a whole bunch of reasons for her. We started weaning some Keppra, and we were weaning this ketogenic diet that we had her on, a special seizure diet. And, bro, she smiled.
Oh, wow.
And I can't tell you how crazy cool that was. There she was. I hadn't seen her smile in almost 4 years, and my wife caught it on camera. We put it on her Facebook page, paper doll page. And, bro, it's the little things in life. My daughter smiled, you know. Let's put things in perspective. What's really important, man? I was blown away. So I can't wait till she's 100% on CBD and 100% off of pharmaceuticals. And, you know, my wife is an advocate. She's traveling about it. She's speaking about it. This is the most conservative little Christian white girl you're ever going to meet in your life. She's out there, you know, who's a ninja about CBD at this point. I mean, she's just on it, man. And so you should have her on sometime just to talk about this. But she's incredible. And CBD is incredible if used properly. It's got to be used right. You need to know dosage. You need to do your homework. Don't just go to some shady place and buy it and think, oh, I'm just going to start using it. It's going to work. It's not like that. It's a puzzle. You got to figure it out. It takes time. You need direction. You need guidance. But if you get all those things, it works. There's no other way for me to say it. It flat out works.
Yeah. I've met people who have done the oils and again, 100% done with the seizures. I have another friend of mine. He's you know, in the entertainment industry. He also does he does sound for a couple, you know, television shows and whatnot. But his mom had some kind of stomach cancer, and he was like feeding it to her. He was like putting the oil on bread and feeding it to her, and and she was, you know, no longer, she's cancer free. There's nothing else, you know.
Wow. So awesome, man.
Yeah, so
there's so many stories, bro. I mean, it's documented at this point. It's not like some myth that is out there. The research is being done. The studies are being done. The stories are coming in. You know, people are being healed of cancer. People are being healed of rheumatoid arthritis. You go down the list. I mean, it's just an amazing thing that God has done. And I always make, you know, when talking about CBD, I always want to make it very clear from my perspective that God is the healer. CBD isn't healing anybody. God is using it to heal my daughter. So I always might make sure he gets the glory, he gets the credit for it. But he is using it, and it is an amazing plant, and it is amazing properties of the plant. And, you know, my family's been blessed by it, and we're very much advocates of it.
Yeah, and does that affect, and just, you know, on a personal level, being in the position that you're in, not just on radio, but I'm saying with the ministry you're involved in, do you get like frowned upon, or do some people like kind of like, hey man, don't bring that around here. I don't want to hear about that. Or, you know, what are some of the effects that come with that, with advocating for it?
You know, we thought for sure when we decided to do this, we're living in Reno Sparks, and we had to move out of Nevada because, Nevada is what's called a grow-your-own state, which actually recently just changed. But when we were there, it was a grow-your-own state. So you could get it, but you had to grow your own. And the process to make CBD the right way, I mean, you got to be a flat-out rocket science, you know, scientist to do it the right way. So we moved out of Nevada, moved back to California to get our daughter on it. And we thought for sure we were going to get some backlash, especially from, you know, the faith-based communities. And I tell you what, man, I literally haven't had one, not one. My pastors have supported me. My friends have supported me. Listeners who know, you know, where I stand with my faith, they've supported me. Everybody's supported us. You know, there are detractors out there that are against CBD in general, but for us, I haven't, to my knowledge, you know, haven't had anybody come out against, well, how can you call yourself a Christian and do that? Like, that has not been the case, and it's been really cool.
No, that's awesome, man, and especially being in a position where you're in with the, you know, like I was saying, the kingdom men, like it's a beautiful thing to know that you could, you know, take something that is God-given, you know, with the plant, and kind of take it to another level and educate others, because you know, I'm a believer, and I always, you know, I'm always checking your posts and all that, and I'm like, dude, this is where it's at, you know. And you know, of course, you know, some people may look at it as on the marijuana side and, oh, you know, stoner or whatever, but the way you guys are using it, man, and it's such a blessing to see and hear the news of everything that, you know, the healing process of what God's doing, you know, through the plant with your daughter. So, you know, it's encouraging to see and you know, just the growth of the whole process is beautiful, man. So keep doing it, man. Keep doing it.
Yeah, people can tell us. Thank you, bro. I mean, following her story, you know, it's documented. The first day we did it, you know, she went seizure free, you know, for a day, which that never had happened, you know. So it backed down a little bit because it's called the honeymoon phase when your body gets introduced to something and really enjoys it. Yeah. But, no, it's been amazing. And, who would have thought, you know, my wife and I would be the ones that would be, you know, have a platform to talk about it and really just give our experience, essentially what we're doing. My wife is the one that does all the studying on it and knows all the scientific elements of it. But ultimately, when it comes down for us, it's just this plant gave us hope. For the first time in this entire process, because all these pills didn't give us hope. They just frustrated us. You know, all these doctors who we respect and for the most part, we're all good people. But it was this little old plant that the world has this big stereotype about that God said, you know, I like using things that people kind of count out as bad. You know, I like restoring bad things into good, you know, so how about I use this little plant here that so many people hate to do some really awesome things? And so that's what he's doing with our daughter.
It sounds like the story of my life.
Come on, man. We can all relate to that. Right? Messed up, you know, jacked up, and whoa, all of a sudden we're being used to do something much bigger than us.
All right. And that, you know, that brings me to what you're doing over at Kingdom Men. And like I said, I was there the first day when you got brought on to, you know, to come back, and you know, everybody was excited to see you back. For me, that was a first because I hadn't met you yet, and you know, I didn't really know much about you, but you were introduced, and we're like, dude, this is awesome. But now you're in a situation where you've brought something back that you had going back in the day, which was this men's conference. Tell me about that.
Brother, this is literally one of my biggest passions, and I appreciate you giving me an opportunity to even talk about it. And I really hope there's men or women listening right now who will be impacted by what they're about to hear and take part in it, go to the website, do their own, you know, look up at it, and maybe even go. Maybe, you know, there's a wife listening right now who is in a situation where, you know, her marriage needs a little work, and her husband needs a little extra oomph, or a son needs some direction, or there's a man listening right now who just wants to better his life. Whether you're a Christian or not a Christian, you know, that doesn't matter to me. You're just in a place where you want to better your life. It's an event called The Crest. It's called The Crest Men's Advance. A lot of people call events like this a retreat. I'm of the belief that men don't retreat, we advance. And so that's why it's the Crest Men's Advance. It's November 13th, 14th, and 15th in Cold Springs, California, right below Pinecrest, which is a popular NorCal destination up in the mountains above Sonora. We've got men from multiple states driving and flying in. We've got over 20 different denominations and churches that are involved. It's not a one church type of thing. I make no qualms about it. It is an event that is centered around God. I don't ever want to try to smokescreen anybody and tell them it's not. It's 100% centered around God. But we don't push God on anybody. That's not my job. That's not anybody's job. God is a gentleman. He doesn't push himself on anybody. So why would we do that? But you're going to go in this environment. It's 2.5 days where there's no distraction. Your cell phones most likely are not going to work because we're so deep into the mountains. So technology and all that, you're going to unplug, disconnect for a couple of days. You're going to get together with other men who all of us are jacked up and have our own problems and own issues, but it's okay because we all have it, you know, and, we're going to do life together. We've got speakers and we've got breakout sessions and we've got hangout time. And, you know, we go up to this beautiful lake and we end the event up there with a really special kind of ceremony type deal. It's just powerful. It's special. I can tell you through experience, it's changed my life. It is really a passion of mine that I believe God himself put in my heart because I exist. The reason why I exist on this planet, brother, is to change the lives of men to the positive. It's to bring them out of a bad situation and make them better, to bring a horrible marriage and make it awesome, you know, to restore a relationship between a father and a son or a father and a daughter, to see a man for maybe even for the first time, understand that he does have a purpose and he does matter. And everything, all those lies that he's heard all of his whole life, that he's never going to amount to anything or maybe just horrible things people have spoken over him. That's not true. That's not what God has for him. And sometimes it takes an event like this, and as crazy as it sounds and how ridiculous it may seem, to go up to the mountains with a whole bunch of dudes, you have no clue who they are. I'm telling you, if you take the time to go, you will be better when you leave than when you got there. And it excites me. It's really inexpensive. It's $150. That covers 2 nights lodging, 6 meals, all the conference sessions, all the different CREST activities. And usually, typically, events like this will run you about $300. We're not out to make money on this thing. We're out to pay for it and change lives. And so if you go to our website, which is thehousemodesto.com/thecrest, and I'm sure you can probably put it up on your site or whatever, but it's thehousemodesto.com/thecrest. You can get all the information there, find out about the speakers. You can register there. And we also have a Facebook page. You'd have to search out KMM, stands for Kingdom Men Ministries, KMM NorCal. Search that out on Facebook, and that also is a place where we're giving out information. If you email or social media Ruben, you can. I'm going to send you a link, brother, that has all the promotional videos. We've got brochures that we can send out. We're aggressively pursuing people to get to this event because we know how much of an impact it can have on a man, on a marriage, on a family, on a child, on a situation. And so I would be honored to talk to anybody about it. If people have questions, I can give them my email or you can put it up on your website, whatever you want to do. But the bottom line is it's an event where we only allow 400 men. Seems like a lot, but it's not when you start getting people from all over the country coming. And we do that on purpose. We're not trying to fill up an arena. We're trying to have an intimate experience with God. And so 400 men in the mountains at a camp called Jeunesse Park. It's an amazing place. By the way, with bomb food. Usually when you go to camps like this, the food is horrible. People rant and rave about how great the food is. So I understand this, dude. You know, you better give me some good food if I'm going to be away from my wife for a few days. Right. And so, we step up to the plate with the food arena. And so anyway, man, I don't want to sell it too hard. Like point fingers, like you should be there. I, that's not my style. I don't want to twist arms because I believe God will tug on people's hearts. So if you're hearing this interview right now and there's just something in you going, that's not something I would normally go to, but it sounds interesting, or maybe you should check it out. I believe that's God doing it. It's not because of me. It's not Ruben. It's just there's something in you telling you maybe you should check that out. And if that's you and that's the case, take the leap of faith and at least check into it. And again, you can contact me if you have any questions. It's called the Crest Men's Advance, and it's November 13th, 14th, and 15th in the hills of Northern California.
And this isn't the first year you've done this, right?
No, yeah, this will be the seventh year, but it had a six-year hiatus. It was really at its height. It started out with me and five guys in a cabin up in Pinecrest with no agenda. We didn't have any speakers or anything. We just went up there and had a weekend where we kind of focused on God. That weekend changed my life. Next year, it was 12 guys. The year after that, it was 42. Then all of a sudden, it was 150. Then it was 250. Then it was over 300. And it was like, whoa, this is actually happening. Everything God said it was going to go down is now taking place. And then God said, I want you to rest it. He never said stop it. He said, I want you to rest it. And I didn't understand it, but I was obedient and said, okay, I'm going to rest it. Well, little did I know, in the coming days, I would move to Nevada. I would have my daughter with special needs. I would go through a big humbling process in regards to my career. I'd be introduced to ministry again. There was all these different things, God knew, I didn't. But long story short, 6 years later, comes full circle, the green light has been given, and this event is about to relaunch, and there is an excitement with people that are going. And, man, if you're listening to this right now, I would love for you to be there, and believe with all my heart, if you go, you will be changed for the better.
Wow, that's awesome, man. I'm going to try to kind of carve out some time and try to make it out that, man, because it's been, one of those things for me where it's like, I know that I need something like that, you know what I'm saying? And I think everybody kind of goes through a dry spell, especially, being in the entertainment industry, how that goes, but seeing so much and going through so much, and then, sometimes you don't always have the time to like make it to church or it's not easy. It's not easy. I know some people, they think, everything's going to be perfect to give your life to the Lord, but dude, this walk is not easy.
It's not easy, man. Life's tough, and we tell guys all the time, one of the slogans we use for our men's group, for our ministry, is life is better together. And it may sound corny and kind of cheesy, but it's true. And so when you get around a bunch of guys, there's something about men getting together. All of a sudden you realize, I'm not the only messed up person in the world. There are other guys out there just as messed up, if not worse than I am. And there's something weird in that is comforting, But it's also, you get around guys and go, hey, look, I was in that position. And now I'm better, and here's how I did it, or here's some very practical steps you can take, to start restoring things in your life that are broken, to finally get a grip on that weakness in your life that has been tearing you down for years, or whatever the situation may be for a man. We need things like this. I'm of the opinion that as men, we don't get together enough. We don't get away enough. And so once a year, we've made a commitment that we're going to at least give men an opportunity to do just that, get away and connect and let God do what only He can do. And that is restore things that are broken. That is to fire people up, motivate, encourage, challenge, true change. I can read a book or offer you a self-help process or whatever, and you might see results. But real change, I can't do that for you. There isn't a thing I can say or do that's going to have a real positive, life-changing force in your life. And so, essentially, we're putting the ball on the tee at the Crest and letting God come in and hit a grand slam,
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's an awesome way to put it, man. That's for real. And, I sit back and I was in the pews the first day that you came in, and I was like, man, it was almost like this Kingdom Men ministry. It was like new life breathed into it, and I thank you for what you're doing up there, and I was just in town for a couple of days. We did the outreach over at the Juvenile Hall over in Modesto, and I'd meant to link up with you, and I had all this other stuff going on, and I know you had some stuff going on, so I know you're doing a wonderful job out there, man. I keep hearing it. I know. you know, we have a mutual friend, Darwin Benjamin, awesome man of God.
Yeah.
And, you know, you
guys. And Darwin's going to be speaking at the Crest, and he is a fiery brother. I love him. And, you know, he's got such a great testimony and story of his life and how jacked up he was and you know, what God did. And so, yeah, he's going to be one of our main speakers. And you know, whether you know God, believe in God, care about God, you'll love Darwin, and he'll challenge you, he'll fire you. We also have Pastor Glenn Berteau, who is an international speaker, author, amazing man, one of my heroes. He's going to open up on the first night, and it's just going to be incredible, bro. I wish every man would just, I'll say this to wrap it up. You know, we make time for what's important to us, you know. Yeah. The only reason I go to the gym, I don't like going to the gym. It's hard. Working out's tough, and it's never convenient. But I like the results of it, and so I make time for it. So when we talk to men about going to this event, you'll hear excuses like, oh, I can't get off work, or I don't have the money. And what I say to those things is simple. I say, look, if it's important to you, and if you're feeling something inside where you know, man, I really want to go, or I really feel like I should go, if you feel that, to me, that's a desire of your heart, and God says, I answer desires of the heart. So if it's a true money thing, just believe that it's going to be provided. Just today, man, this morning, I was at church, and two guys came up to me individually and said, I really want to go, I just don't have the money. And I said, then you need to believe that God's going to provide it, because if you really want to go, you're not just telling me that, but you want to go, that's a desire of your heart. So we prayed, God, nothing fancy, God, they need money, they want to go to this event, would you please provide it? Amen. Within 5 minutes, man, not exaggerating for the sake of the story, it's 100% true, within 5 minutes, two guys individually came up to me and said, I don't know why, man, but I'm supposed to pay for somebody.
Wow.
And I said, I've got them. And so I went and got the guys who prayed, and those guys are going to the event now because they were bold enough to believe God. Because what's $150 to God? It's nothing, you know? And so it's never about money. It's about, do you trust God? You know, let's believe him. Let's put a demand on God's word. And we're not doing that out of brashness or arrogance. We're doing this out of boldness because he said we can approach his throne boldly. And so we pray boldly. God provided this money, you know, and there it was in less than 5 minutes. And so, you know, we tell people way in advance, you know, hey, you've got weeks until this event. So go to your boss, tell them now, tell them tomorrow, you know, hey, there's this event that I really want to go to. Can I get the time off? And if he says no, then keep praying and ask God to change his heart because he will.
Or ask him to bring you a new job.
If you are supposed to go, then nothing is going to get in your way.
Yeah.
You know, because God is he'll make a way for you to be there. And so, you know, whatever the excuse that'll pop into your brain, because whether you believe it or not, there are forces that are actively working against you and trying to destroy your life. You know, forget those forces and say, God, get me there. Mm-hmm. And man, you'll be there, and I'll see you up there, and we'll have a good time together. We'll have a blast.
There you go, man. Well, there you have it, man. I appreciate everything you're doing for the men in Modesto. It's definitely needed, not just in Modesto, but, you know, everywhere, man. Like, everything that I learned in Modesto, I wish that there was some stuff like that going on in San Diego. And there is a couple of ministries and a couple of churches that do what you guys do at the house in San Diego, but... man, you guys just do it to a whole nother level, man. So, you know, I appreciate you guys. I appreciate you, what you're doing, man. And I appreciate you taking, you know, all this time to come and share the story. What I do want to do is maybe set something up to have both you and your wife come on. And I'd love to hear more about the CBD side of stuff. And maybe we can just do a whole interview on just that. So, you know, I think it's...
Oh, yeah, man. Yeah. She would love it. And she'll take over the interview. I'll just sit back and watch.
Awesome, man. So, yeah, maybe we should set that up too, man. But, you know, I know we're going well over an hour. And you know, I know, you got, you know, it's your family day and you still got your kids you're watching. So, you know, I don't want to take too much of your time.
I appreciate you, man. What you're doing is awesome. You know, I honor you for what you're doing, and I believe that, you know, this podcast is gonna blow up. I believe that you're gonna do big things with it. I believe you're gonna have a positive impact on a lot of people, not only the people listening, but the people you interview. You know, I'm blessed by this, and so I'm encouraged too, man. It's inspiring to see someone go after their passion. I'm a passion magnet. I'm attracted to passion, and you're passionate about what you do, bro. So I'm excited for you, and hopefully I'll see you at the Crest, and it's going to be good, man. So I really appreciate you giving me the time. It's been fun.
No, man, thank you, man. It's a blessing, and actually this is, you know, not to down any of the other interviews I've had, but this is, you know, this is an interview that's been close to my heart too, because of the impact that the house has made on me and Pastor Berteau, and just the city of Modesto, the impact that the city is, you know, the people in the city has made on me. I was living there for about a year. And so, you know, this, you know, hearing all this from you is near and dear to my heart as well. So, man, you know, I appreciate it, man, and keep lifting up the men, and, you know, just keep doing what you do on the radio, man. It's encouraging to me. And you know, I haven't done the airwaves on the level you've done. You know, I've had a little online radio show here and there, but, you know, what you do is encouraging for others, man. So, you know, keep doing what you're doing, man. I love you. Keep me in prayer. That's for sure. You know, I need it.
Yeah, man.
You know, doing what we do. And likewise, we'll keep you and your family and your daughter in prayer, man. So thank you for your time. Anything you want to plug? How do we find you?
You can always go on my Facebook page. You know, you can just look up Jack Paper Lives on Facebook. And you can find me on Twitter as well. And that's a great way to connect with me, message me, answer me any questions. I'm one of those social media geeks. You know, I love it, and it's fun for me. And I answer every message that comes in. And so, yeah, just Jack Paper Lives on Facebook or Twitter. And you can always listen to me on my shows on the iHeart app. You know, technology is awesome no matter where you're listening from. You know, it's made any station available, so you can find out what stations I'm on if you go to my Facebook page and all that. And I love you, bro. I appreciate everything you're doing.
Yeah, man, appreciate it. We will talk soon. Thank you for everything you're doing. Stay tuned for part two, and maybe we can get your wife on, and let's make this happen. So,
thanks, man.
Thank you, brother. Keep holding down the city of Modesto, and keep doing what you do. We are out of here. All up in your ear hole, connected with Ruben Torres. That's how we do it. Boom. Out of here.